Thanks, Doug. I've got the unenviable task of untangling the north-south challenges from a rail operator's viewpoint today. So 10 minutes, that should be fine. We'll get through it. From a rail perspective, the east-west corridor has been highly successful, and its success can be measured in rail's market share increase of over 30% and freight rate decreases of over 35%. This transformation was initiated some 15 years ago when the federal government invested in the standardisation of the interstate rail network of Perth and laying the foundations for success on this corridor. The surprising thing at the time was that it was a little known company called SCT that answered the government's calling for competition, which triggered a monumental change to rail's competitive landscape. And given little chance of survival at the time, I must say that it is pleasing to be here today. 15 years on, our industry is competitive and it is dynamic. The success of the East-West Rail Corridor supports the optimism and the reasonable expectation that the North-South Corridor can be equally efficient. So I speak to you today as the only other operator capable of entering that particular market. So how have we achieved the success East-West? Well, we've gotten smarter, we've gotten more disciplined, and we've invested in the latest technology. We consistently run to maximum allowable length of 1.8 kilometres long across the Nullarbor. We load our wagons to the maximum allowable axle weights, and we operate low tear weight, high capacity rolling stock. We operate the latest, most technologically advanced, fuel efficient locomotives that are available to the market. Basically, we push all the boundaries to create what we call in rail circles as efficiency, which is ultimately the reason that rail has been able to become more competitive on that corridor. So can we replicate the success of the east-west corridor onto the north-south corridor? That's basically the big question. And can government's target of increasing market share from 11% to 25% be achieved? Without question, the challenge will be greater on the North-South Corridor. An incredibly progressive and competent competitor in the road industry dominates the Eastern Seaboard. The economics of distance that rail enjoys east-west are also diminished, and end-to-end costs for pick-up and delivery and handling form a greater cost component of the overall task, reducing rail's competitive advantage, particularly for the shorter journeys to Sydney. One thing that we can state categorically is that without the government's commitment to upgrade the North-South Corridor, rail will not increase its market share and in fact would inevitably see a decline as it became less price competitive and failed to keep pace with today's supply chain demand. Primarily, there are three key areas of improvement that will result from the government's investment in upgrading the network. The first one I wanted to cover is the consistency of transit times. This is critical for customers, and in particular, the just-in-time retail market, whose supply chain demands reliability and time slots to be met. Road provides reliable service in this area, unquestionably, and is not burdened by the inevitable delays that we face on rail, such as waiting for passenger trains on the network. Secondly, the reduction in transit times, particularly between Melbourne and Brisbane. Contrary to popular belief, we don't, as a rail operator, see it as a race to get freight from, say, Melbourne to Brisbane, although consistency, as I mentioned before, is critical. The advantage, however, with transit time reduction is that it will allow train operators, such as Pacific National, Queensland Rail, or SCT, to turn trains around quicker and improve the utilisation of its equipment. And this, in turn, reduces operating costs and will improve rail's competitiveness. Thirdly, and this is the one we can never get away from, is cost. Ask anyone in transport, doesn't matter if it's road, rail, sea, doesn't matter whether they're delivering pizzas. Cost is a primary consideration within our industry and within the transport choices that our customers make. So if we are to swing volumes from road to rail on the eastern seaboard, then it will need to be driven by a more competitive pricing structure. And in order to reduce prices, we need a network that facilitates optimum trains. And that's where the government's investment comes in to allow us to be able to do that. There are also a number of key factors which will influence the success of rail on the north-south corridor, which are unrelated to the improved infrastructure, the improvements that the government's putting in place. Unquestionably, the world has changed in the last 6 months, which will have an enormous bearing on the investment decisions that the above rail operators such as SCT, Pacific National and Queensland Rail make into the future. Factors not related to infrastructure include the fact that rail is undoubtedly a capital intensive business. Locos, rolling stock, terminals, not only are they expensive, but we also deal with very long lead times and projections in making those types of decisions. This means that we're going to be an industry that is more affected by the freeze on capital, which will increase the scrutiny and criteria by which capital is invested. Another factor is fuel and carbon emissions. No doubt this provides an advantage to rail over road. However, as the past few months have demonstrated, basing your investment strategy and business case on the assumption of consistently high prices, high fuel prices, can be a fairly dangerous practice. The other thing I just wanted to touch on was our risk profile, which is, from a rail operator's perspective, has changed quite considerably over the years, particularly through our track access regime. Whilst we respect the role that the Australian Rail Track Corporation plays in managing price regulation and the majority of the interstate track, we disagree that this body should operate as a corporation with profit accountability. This has led to decisions such as that in February 2008 to increase track access on the east-west corridor by 10%, at the same time decrease track access on the north-south corridor by 10%, which led to four things came out of that. An increased cost of freight customers travelling to Perth, no recognisable price decrease for customers travelling north-south, nor any influence to the modal shift. A modal shift from rail to sea across on the east-west corridor, and investment concerns and caution for rail operators as a result of goalpost shifting, which influences our investment program. Finally, I just wanted to touch on market saturation. We face the risk of too many rail competitors competing on the same corridors, which has undoubtedly eroded critical mass and efficiency, resulting arguably in a less competitive industry. More trains, more operators, but with the same amount of volume and freight, mathematically means smaller and less efficient trains. Currently, as we sit, consolidation in our industry appears a real possibility and is likely, or arguably, going to bring cost benefits to the consumers. Ultimately, we're of the view that the government must move the ARTC's mandate from towards maximising freight on rail at almost any cost, rather than allowing it to maximise profits. Any diminished profitability of the track access is trivial compared to the benefits to Australia of ensuring that rail infrastructure is used the most efficiently that it can. Also, the so-called value capture from efficient use of rail, for example, lower carbon emissions, pollution, reduced road trauma and road expenditure, and safe driving conditions as well, do not accrue to the rail operator. They accrue to the nation and its general population. My intention today was to shed some light on the challenges faced on the North-South Rail Corridor. There is no doubt that its success will be challenging, and that ultimately there are a number of factors that will influence the outcome. The government's investment program is critical, and the time is right for rail to play an even more effective role in providing a more competitive landscape on the east coast of Australia. Thanks very much for the invitation, and thanks for the time.